Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is Acast Recommends. Every week, we pick one of our favourite shows. And this is one we think you're going to love.
Hello, I'm Jeff Lloyd, and I recently had a baby with Ed Miliband. A baby podcast, that is. It's a spin-off of our show, Reasons to be Cheerful. It's called Cheerful Book Club, and it's conversations with some of the best writers working in the world today. You'll really enjoy our chats with people like US broadcasting legend Rachel Maddow, literary giant Ian McEwan, and The Big Short and Moneyball author Michael Lewis. Feed your brain with ideas from the Cheerful Book Club. You'll find us on the excellent Acast app or wherever else you get your podcasts.
Acast is home to the biggest podcasts from Ireland and around the world. Subscribe to this show and hundreds more now via Acast or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to the Everything is Black and White podcast. I'm Andrew Musgrove here at St James Park after Newcastle United beat Cardiff City 3-0 to get themselves out of the relegation zone. A very good performance for Newcastle. Joined here by Lee Ryder and Mark Douglas and Chris Woff will join in very soon. Lee, would you say that's the best performance you've seen at home from Newcastle United this season?
Well, the result was the best performance in that respect, but you know, you look at Newcastle, really, they probably played better in other games and not got anything. But today, everything just fell into place for them. Obviously, got off to a great start with Fabian Schär's individual goal. Weaved through, great finish, just got the place buzzing again. And then the second goal comes at a great time. Just puts a bit of daylight between the two teams. And after that, I think Cardiff just couldn't get back in the game. And then, you know, Perez just puts a little bit of gloss on the scoreline with a very tidy sort of finish towards the end after a good run from Rondon. And it just holds them out the relegation zone. So performance, not the best I've seen this season. But in terms of, you know, the result and everything that it means, it ticked a lot of boxes.
The result was 3-0, looks good on paper. Newcastle, probably the stats also, obviously without the relegation zone. But do we need a bit of reality? Because no disrespect to Cardiff, but they just weren't very good today.
No, I think they're down at the wrong end of the table for a reason. That they've been inconsistent all year. But then Newcastle aren't, you know, too far ahead of them now, and they were obviously below them before the game. You look at that game back in August, what Newcastle should have won with the penalty miss. And, you know, when the dust settles, you've taken 4 points from six from a relegation rival. If Newcastle can do something like that with everybody else in that bottom six, then they've got a great chance of survival. Obviously, we want to be aiming higher, but things aren't right behind the scenes, and that has a big impact. But today was about getting the 3 points. They've gone out there and done it. The players are in a great mood. If anyone did question if they were playing for the manager or not, then I think that they got their answer today.
It was a huge test of character because coming in this game, Newcastle had the joint worst home record across all top four divisions in England. They were one defeat away from having their worst start to a top flight campaign. They were in the relegation zone. Yeah. And then to top it all off, you had the news about Ashley potentially bringing the club off the market. Yeah. They still haven't signed anyone in the transfer market. So everything that was kind of painting a negative picture was there.
Yeah.
And it really did take a test of character of these players to step up and get the 3 points.
Yeah, I mean, you know, those sort of statistics start to get wheeled out, don't they, when you go so long without a win. Newcastle, 5 Premier League games without a victory until today. They got it, but, you know, obviously they had the cup win as well, didn't they, in the week. So when you look at this week on its own, it's been a good week, you know. 7 goals through to the next round of the cup, 3 points out the relegation zone. A lot of the injuries coming back now. You know, this team can get better as well with the players that are currently out. They can come back from the treatment room. And then really, you know, it should be just down to the people behind the scenes now to add 2 or 3 signings in the last 10 days of the window. you can be as optimistic or as pessimistic about that as you want, because you know Newcastle in the past have been really disappointing, especially in the January window, especially under Rafa. So we'll have to wait and see what happens with that. I'm sure he'll be pushing behind the scenes, but you know, as far as he's concerned, he continues to get that miracle work done.
Now I know I'm sure Longstaff is someone you followed throughout his kind of time at Newcastle. Again today, I mean, he had a fantastic game. He was wanting the ball at every chance. He was the passes. He was spraying left, right, and centre were brilliant. Is there a case that if you know, say if Shelby's fit next weekend, that you still play Sean Longstaff? Has he made that centre midfield position his own?
I'm not 100% sure that he will get that opportunity. Does he deserve it? 100%. He would be the first name, you know, in the midfield for me on the team sheet, because he's got that youth about him. He's got that energy about him. He brings so much to the team in terms of his passing, his work rate. He's got a goal in him. He's got an assist in him. He wins aerial balls. For me, he's got everything you need in a midfielder. Whether he will maintain his position is down to whether Rafa sees fit to play him ahead of one of the senior guys. I mean, it's not just Shelby we're talking about, it's Diarmé as well. Had Diarmé been fit today, he might not have even been in the starting 11, and that would have been disappointing for him, but he's come a long way in a short space of time. I think, you know, next week he'll be playing against Watford, no doubt, and then after that, it's certainly a big call against Man City to throw him in, but he's doing fantastic, and again, as you say, had a great performance today.
Two goals for Fabian Schär. The first one was a very good goal, kind of strolls 25, 30 yards. Probably you could argue there should have been a tackle in there, and then you probably argue that Nias should have probably just nicked him and taken one for the team. But nonetheless, a superb finish. Gets a second, but also a brilliant defensive display as well. There was the tackle when Newcastle went 2-0 up just after that, where he stopped the ball going in the box when Cardiff were throwing everything at Newcastle. Does that prove that there are bargains to be had out there?
Well, yeah, I mean, it took Newcastle, the powers that be, it took them long enough to get that deal done. It was a very easy deal, 3 million release clause, and Newcastle were hummed and hard over paying the 3 million for him. But, you know, if Newcastle stay up, then those two goals today could well prove the turning point in the bid for survival, and that £3 million is suddenly worth every penny. I spoke to him just then down in the mix zone, and you know, I asked him, I said, did you have that in your head that you were going to score that goal when you picked it up so far out? And he said, you know, he said, I just wanted to do something with it and make, you know, something happen. He certainly did that. You know, the closer he got, you were egging him on to have that shot. He'd done it in the end, and it was a great finish. And I like the celebration as well when he ran over the corner and pulled the corner flag out. I think that's the passion the Geordies want to see.
Been learning things off Matt Ritchie. And just a final word from yourself on Florian Lejeune. He's come back remarkably quickly from what was a season-ending injury. Come back quicker than anyone's really expected. Slotted straight back in. And the formation that Benitez seemingly wants to play, the three centre-backs at the back, it's really made for someone like Lejeune, who can pick a pass, and he's got real quality on the ball.
Yeah, he has, and you know, he does all the defensive stuff that you would expect, the clearances, the interceptions, but you know, I think he had the most passes today in the whole team, and he's just such a... he reads the game so well, and he's so calm, and he brings that tranquility to, you know, Newcastle down the airs. The defence has always had that reputation of having a dodgy defence, you know, flying forward, but he is, you know, a player that really fits in well here. He's in there on merit after coming back from an injury, and you know, if he stays fit, then you would expect him to be in one of the first names on the team sheet until the end of the season.
Now joined by Chris Woff, Mark Dulles is imminent. Chris, a word on Solomon Rondon, who, for me, every week he seems to play, he kind of vindicates Rafa Benitez and the battle that the manager went through to get him signed, even if it is just on loan. Today, absolutely brilliant. I mean, everything he wanted, everything he went to win, he did it.
Yeah, I don't think Solomon Rondon's ever going to be prolific in the sense that he's not going to be Alan Shearer sort of levels of goal scoring, but what he does bring to, let's be honest, a quite limited Newcastle United team is a focal point up front. He occupies defenders. I thought the Cardiff centre-backs didn't have a clue how to deal with him today. He just holds the ball up, brings his teammates into play, just puts himself about, really just gives the opposition something to really think about. And he's a perfect Rafa Benitez type of player, just because he works so hard. He does exactly what Benitez wants from him, and it's obvious now why Benitez wanted him last summer. It was an expensive deal, which is why the club, for 29-year-old, why the club didn't sign him permanently. They had to do a quite bespoke loan deal to get him out, to get Dwight Gayle out, because that was the only way that Rondon would come in. But I think he has been vindicated in that regard, because performances like this have helped Newcastle make sure that they are currently outside the bottom three, albeit only just.
Yeah, I got the assist for the Perez goal. I mean, it was brilliant, a brilliant counter-attacking goal. Scissors got the defender a bit confused, and a superb cross, because many strikers may have tried to go from goal from where he was. He wasn't totally out of the picture, but he decided that he'd cross it over, and it was a beautiful cross. Good decision making.
It was good decision making, which is not something we've been able to say about Newcastle United in the final third here at St James's Park particularly often this season. But very good team goal in general. I thought that the build up play was very good. Mankio was overlapping because that's who had flicked it through, but Rondon took the ball. He took control of the situation, got to the byline, crossed it in, an easy finish for Perez. So yeah, it was a very good goal and rounded off what was quite a comfortable but very good victory for Newcastle.
Yeah, Mark, was that Newcastle United at their best when they wanted to play counter-attacking football? Because we saw not just a couple of the goals, but generally when they hit Cardiff on the counter, it was fast flowing, it was entertaining to watch. And is that what Benitez has been trying to achieve all this season?
I think to be fair, it wasn't just counter-attack today. I think they controlled the midfield really, really well. Probably the best they've played in terms of controlling the game all season. I think, you know, once again, the result sort of changes the narrative of the game a little bit. And I think Neil Warnock, although some of this, what he said after the game wasn't right, I think he was correct in that it was edgy for, you know, a good 25 minutes. It wasn't like it was the perfect performance for 90, because I think it could have gone either way. They didn't look like they were going to concede, I didn't think, but they didn't necessarily look like they were going to score until Shaw came up with the goods. And sometimes it just takes that little bit of quality. But I think, you know, generally they broke really well. Richie was excellent today. It's probably his best performance for quite some time. And he's actually had quite a good spell of games. Atsu was a little bit in and out, but his pace stretched Cardiff, and Rondon was excellent up front. So it was, you know, I think it puts into context Newcastle's what Newcastle have to do to stay up this season. They've got to beat teams like Cardiff, and they did it quite easily today. I think they had that bit of quality. If they can just bring in one or two extra players to really give them options, then, you know, I think that they should be okay. But it could get a bit grim again in the next few weeks, 'cause they've got some really difficult games to come.
Do you think they're going to be bringing in options?
Yeah, I think they will. I know I've said that a few times. I do think that the players will come. There's, 2 weeks to go now, just under. Not a lot of deals have been done so far in this transfer window, so let's not think that everybody else around them is doing deals. Neil Warnock said there that they're close to bringing the guy in from Nantes, but they signed Omar Niasse on loan. I mean, he was pretty much nondescript today, didn't do much. I think Newcastle fans would be desperate for a player like that to come in. A lot of the deals will be done, I think, in the last week of the window. It's not, as we understand it, that there's no funds available. It's more these kind of running battles over policy and targets and things, which I think Chris wrote a really good piece about on Thursday. But I do think that it will be solved in the next few weeks. I think players are being put into Newcastle now, and I think Rafa is kind of probably coming round to the idea that, look, I'll have to start kind of changing. I think at the moment he's saying it's Almiron and one left back is what he said, and then maybe some others. But I think he will have to come to the table. Newcastle will have to bend as well, and they probably will. I think, you know, you saw it at the end of the last transfer window, that which was poor for Newcastle, that they ended up signing Fernandez, who was not somebody that maybe a week before they would have signed, but they did end up signing him. And it's also, interestingly, you know, I think they're probably looking at a midfielder, or thought they maybe needed to bring in a midfielder, but Sean Longstaff's been so excellent in the last few weeks that they might think, actually, do we need to? I wouldn't want to see anybody blocking his route into the team, to be honest, because I tell you, you know, he's taking his chance.
You know, that good performance today for Longstaff. Interestingly, the defence, Mark mentioned there, Fernandez, He missed out a day because of a virus, but you had Lascelles, Lejeune and Cher, and all three of them played very well. I mean, doom and gloom, lack of transfers, lack of a takeover, but Benitez has a very positive centre-back dilemma, and we can't forget Kieran Clarke either.
Well, it's been the one position where Newcastle have had strength and depth all season, ever since Fernandes came in, and we knew once Lejeune came back they would have option. And I like the balance today. What I really liked about it was you had Cher and Lejeune either side, two players who were quite happy to advance with the ball, which is what we saw for Cher's goal, and also played out from the back. And it meant that Lascelles just got to focus on just being a leader at the back, controlling, making sure he's the eyes and ears. And I like that combination. When Lascelles doesn't have to play football, when he isn't expected to be in possession, I think he does very well. And those three, I like that blend. And I think that, because a lot of people, when they saw three at the back before the game, or when I tweeted out the three, there was a lot of negative responses. But I think with Lejeune and Cher, it's different if you've got, say, Clarke, Fernandes and Lascelles, who aren't as good ball players. It is almost perversely a quite attacking team, because if you saw first 20 minutes in particular, Yedlin and Richie as well, it was essentially 3-4-3. They were so far advanced. So maybe they may have stumbled across a way forward that could start succeeding on Tyneside, because they're going to have to against these teams who come and sit against them.
This is Acast Recommends. Every week, we pick one of our favourite shows. And this is one we think you're going to love.
Hello, I'm Jeff Lloyd, and I recently had a baby with Ed Miliband. A baby podcast, that is. It's a spin-off of our show, Reasons to be Cheerful. It's called Cheerful Book Club, and it's conversations with some of the best writers working in the world today. You'll really enjoy our chats with people like US broadcasting legend Rachel Maddow, literary giant Ian McEwan, and the Big Short and Moneyball author Michael Lewis. Feed your brain with ideas from the Cheerful Book Club. You'll find us on the excellent Acast app or wherever else you get your podcasts.
Acast is home to the biggest podcasts from Ireland and around the world. Subscribe to this show and hundreds more now via Acast or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just before I spoke to you about today's kind of takeover news, you're going to make a public apology to Boots Newcastle's Matthew Raisbeck?
I will indeed, yeah. I said before the game he predicted 3-1 Newcastle, and I said there was no way I could see Newcastle scoring three goals at St James's Park in one game, since they only scored seven. Won 3-0 quite comfortably, and I'm quite glad to eat humble pie. I'm quite happy to do so, because this was huge for Newcastle today, and it was surreal to actually see them win a game quite comfortably.
That's how modest Matthew Raisbeck is. He didn't even take the mick out of you for putting him down for that prediction. Mark, obviously the news broke yesterday, reporting that Dennis Wise was maybe back on the fold today, that the takeover looks all but over. It's never boring off the field, is it?
No, I think the Dennis Wise thing for me is a bit of a red herring to an extent. I don't think he's not had conversation with Reece Charnley. He's not involved with Rafa Benitez. It was the second item in the Times' diary column. Look, if Dennis Wise is back with influence at Newcastle United, and that's a confident story, then that's on the back page. And I don't think, to be fair to the guy who wrote it, I don't think that's what he was saying at all. So, you know, look, we live in very sort of, you know, tense and fraught times on Tyneside. So I understand why people felt, you know, that story looked bad. But for me, it's, you know, more fool Mike Ashley if he's listening to Dennis Wise again, because Dennis Wise, when he was here, caused problems for the football club because of the way that the relationship between him and Kevin Keegan, it ended up causing problems for Newcastle, because they ended up having an employment tribunal, which was very damaging for Mike Ashley. I don't think they've ever really regained any form of trust from that, and Kevin Keegan obviously went over that old ground for his autobiography this year. So if that's the case, more for Mike Ashley, he should be listening to people who really do know football rather than Dennis Wise and his ilk. He's also banned, I think he's barred me off Twitter, quite a few of us, I think, probably not in communication with Dennis Wise. I mean, his last big job was on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. You know, that's the last time he was involved with anything. He's not been involved with football for a long time. So, as I said, more for Mike Ashley. On the takeover, I don't think it'll come as a massive surprise to a lot of Newcastle United fans. Peter Kenyon, I think what's interesting is that on this occasion, I think that Mike Ashley coming back to the games has really been a reflection of how serious he thinks the Kenyon thing is. When he moved away, we're told that was because he felt that that something was imminent. Quite interestingly, before Christmas, there'd been so much due diligence done and so much money spent by both Ashley and by Kenyon in terms of accountants and lawyers, because he had obviously got Rockefeller Capital, I think he's engaged with. He's got the law firm Walker Morris as well, and some accountants as well. So I think there's almost been seven figures spent in terms of getting the club ready to be sold in terms of due diligence. That's from both Ashley and Kenyon in the last sort of month or two. So it was a real feeling before Christmas here, at St James Park, here within the walls of power here, that there was an imminent change of ownership happening. Now, that became pretty apparent, I think, around the time of the letter that emerged. I think that was the point at which people started to doubt it, because Kenyon hadn't got the funds. Subsequently, I've been told today that there was the configuration of the deal that Kenyon was proposing looks to me very, it looked a long shot, because he'd only raised a fraction of the sort of 300 million price tag. And then he was looking to raise extra funds and then look to be paying chunks of money back every year. So I've got to be honest, I'm not heartbroken that Kenyon isn't going to be the next owner, if that is the case, because I'm not convinced that his plan and he himself, when you look at his background and his history, were necessarily going to be the answer here. I am really disappointed that it means probably for the time being that Mike Ashley is going to still be here, because I don't think that anything positive can come from Mike Ashley being here. But what he needs to do, if he's saying that he can't sell it for the price that he's got, we need to know what is going to happen with Newcastle United. What he needs to do is he needs to get Rafa Benitez to sign up to a long-term project here. That's what he needs to do. And in order to do that, they've got to change. The people at the top of the football club have to change their view. The problem is, at the moment, we don't see any chance of that happening. I mean, you saw today the third goal goes in and the first chant is, get out of our club. And that's because people don't trust Mike Ashley. They don't believe anything Mike Ashley says or anything that comes from his camp. That is a major problem for this football club. And they didn't believe the whole takeover saga. We've been reporting the ins and outs of that takeover saga. I don't think, to be honest, I've ever really been convinced that it's imminent. There was that flurry of activity before Christmas made me feel it was different. And I think the amount of money that's been spent on due diligence made me feel it was different. I think a lot of money will have been wasted if it hasn't happened. The problem is that they have a massive credibility problem, and the only way they can solve that is by getting Rafa Benitez to sign up to another contract and by backing him. That is the only way they can do it. And in the meantime, I think really the only thing that Mike Ashley can do is provide some funds. I think the funds are there. That's what I think. I do think that the funds are there. I think it's about policy at the moment and not wanting to sign the kind of players that Rafa wants. And that's a major problem. Mike Ashley has to set out what he wants from this football club, because I think a lot of fans have said 31st of January is the deadline for renewing their season ticket, and a lot of fans are talking about not renewing their season ticket. Now, we've heard that before and the crowds have held up pretty well, but this does feel a little bit different. Like I said about the takeover, this feels different. It feels like people are fed up with what's happening at this football club at the moment. So, I think not a massive surprise. I'm not sure yet whether he's going to take it off the market, because there are other groups who've expressed interest. That interest has waned because of the club's perilous position in the Premier League. Well, why would you buy why would you buy the club now with the position it's in, with 10 days, 11 or however 2 weeks left of the transfer window? You can't affect anything. So the club is not going to be taken over this side of the summer, in my opinion. Now, I've been thinking that for a couple of weeks, really. The Kenyan letter was the only thing that made me think, maybe they still want this. But I think what we've seen now is that Kenyan letter was more of an attempt by Mike Ashley to say to fans, look, this is what this guy is promising me. I'm waiting for him to turn up the goods. He's trying to say, this isn't make-believe, I'm not making it up, here's the proof. And that's what they were trying to do with that letter. So now up to Kenyan, really, to prove himself that he has got the money or that he has got the thing. But I don't think he's got the funds. I don't think he can. And I think he'll come out of it with credibility lessened. And everybody comes out of it damaged, I think. It's an epic waste of time, isn't it? Again, an epic waste of energy on something that has not come through. And I think the next time something comes up like this, people will be even more sceptical. So, you know, deep breath. We go again and we'll just have to see what the club come up with. But off the field, things are just floating, aren't they? That's the problem.
Well, sorry, Chris, I mean, your take on that. I mean, you agree with largely what Mark says?
I do, yeah. There's not really much I can add to what Mark said there. I found Mike Ashley's presence here today interesting. I thought it created a surreal sort of atmosphere. I mean, everything about today's game was pretty surreal. Newcastle winning at St James's Park, winning comfortably. But also, it was the fans really supported the team, but at the same time, there was also intermittent chants against Mike Ashley. The Perez goal, there was this immediate celebration, immediate cheers for about 30 seconds, and then all of a sudden it turned into chance against Mike Ashley. But the last three times Mike Ashley's been at St James's Park, Newcastle have won. There's something bizarre about the fact that when he turns up, they're actually at the moment playing better. I know that that's 2 months apart, but
do you worry that Ashley will be looking at this result and saying, well, look, 1-3-0,
you know so little about football that you might think that, because he's been shown, sorry Chris, I've just moved in there. He knows so little about football, and that's not meant to be an insult. It's just a fact. He doesn't, you know, Alan Pardew said it, didn't he? Nearly got fired for saying it on Sky. But it's true, he doesn't know anything about the way that a dressing room runs, the way that a training ground should be run and all that. So he doesn't know anything about it. So it's not beyond the realms of possibility that he will go, well, what do you need? Like, the team have beaten Cardiff. But the fact is that they do need things, because they're going to need to pick up results against teams that, you know, in and around, you know, who are higher than them at the moment, because they need a bit more quality. They need a bit more quality. But you never know. I mean, you had Barnes and Bishop there next to him. Neither of them know anything about football. They don't, you know, in the same way that, you know, they've not got no professional football club experience. There's nobody here who knows more about football than Rafa Benitez. So they need to start listening to him.
Yeah, that is a concern, and particularly because Cardiff are a one-off, because that was up there with the single worst performances I've seen by a top-flight team at St James's Park by Cardiff today. They were absolutely terrible. I'm not trying to take anything away from Newcastle, but Cardiff barely offered a sniff, and they look like they will go down. Newcastle are only just 2 points ahead of them, which tells you all of the problems Newcastle have themselves, and hopefully he recognises that rather than just basing it on one performance against a very poor team, and recognises that Newcastle have only won 3 games at home all season. They need to win at least 4 more if they're going to survive.
I would say, sorry, just the one thing I would say that is a real positive coming out of today is when you actually look at the league table now, Fulham, I know, have got a big game coming up. I'm not sure who they're playing.
They play against, I saw this earlier, Spurs.
Spurs. So potentially Fulham are, so Huddersfield play Man City on Monday, and they're now 10 points behind Newcastle. So that's a massive, massive gap for them to haul themselves out of. Fulham could potentially be 7 points shy of Newcastle. So that's 2 wins they've got to get, 3 wins potentially they've got to go over Newcastle. So, and there's, I think, 6 teams all within about 3 points, isn't there? 3 or 4 points now, including Cardiff as well. So Newcastle will probably need to finish, if you look at it now, in the top five of a 6-team mini league in the bottom. Well, that's how big this win is, because it takes them away from 2 teams at the bottom. Huddersfield, I think, are probably gone now, looking like it, isn't it? So then it's Fulham, who are looking in big trouble now as well. 7 points is a lot at this stage of the season. And then it is, you know, a lot of teams in the mix as well who Newcastle have to play, and they still got to play Fulham and Huddersfield as well, Huddersfield at home. So it's starting to look a bit better, and hopefully that will encourage more players to want to come here, and it might also encourage Rafa to start sort of thinking about next season as well. But you know, it does look much, much better in terms of the Premier League table for this win.
It's amazing what one win can do. Thank you very much for joining us. If you head over to chroniclelive.co.uk, keep up to date with all the latest Newcastle United news, including all the reaction from this afternoon's game. Thank you very much.
This is Acast Recommends. Every week, we pick one of our favourite shows. And this is one we think you're going to love.
Hello, I'm Jeff Lloyd, and I recently had a baby with Ed Miliband. A baby podcast, that is. It's a spin-off of our show, Reasons to be Cheerful. It's called Cheerful Book Club, and it's conversations with some of the best writers working in the world today. You'll really enjoy our chats with people like US broadcasting legend Rachel Maddow, literary giant Ian McEwan, and the Big Short and Moneyball author Michael Lewis. Feed your brain with ideas from the Cheerful Book Club. You'll find us on the excellent Acast app or wherever else you get your podcasts.
Acast is home to the biggest podcasts from Ireland and around the world. Subscribe to this show and hundreds more now via Acast or wherever you get your podcasts.